The end of an era here at WEEI. You saw it on Thursday. Kirk Minahan's final show on with Kirk and Callahan.
Well,
and
for the next couple of years.
Right.
He'll be back.
Some people think it could be sooner.
He'll be back.
Yeah, he's still in the building.
Dale? Back.
Oh, yeah.
Ordway? Back.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I believe Mike Adams left once, and then he came back.
Okay, fair enough.
Everybody comes back.
Everybody will
be here.
Right. You left and you came back.
I left and I came back. Everybody comes back. All right. I already know how it's going to work out, so.
All right.
If you want me to tell you, I can tell you.
All right, yeah, tell me what's going to happen. Give me a crystal
Kirk
ball.
Will not like his new internet venture. Management will not be happy with strong, but not, as strong as they'd like ratings for Mutt and Callahan. Kirk will come back in. It'll be Kirk, Callahan, and Mutt. 2 years, I give it.
2 years?
2 years, maybe a year and a half. That's the way it works.
All right.
That's the way it works around here.
Some people
leave here.
Some people are saying under that.
This place is like the Hotel California.
You can't leave.
You can check in, but you cannot leave.
Okay.
You can leave for a little bit,
right?
But you have to come right back.
I get it.
You always come back here.
All right. Well, I just want to know, are you getting emotional? Because, I mean, there's people who have gotten emotional. That wasn't the only end of an era this year at WEI.
We had another one?
Yeah, the end of the Michael
Holly.
Well,
I'm not emotional.
No, you're not emotional, but.
Should I be?
The end of the Michael Holly era brought some emotion, especially by Rich Keefe.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun. Love coming to work every day. Like, that's a great thing. And we've become friends, which, again, I would not have imagined that being the case.
I'm gonna miss you, man.
Gonna miss you, but like Dale said, you're not gonna be far.
He's not dying.
Yeah. Jesus, Keith. Wow.
He's not dead. He's not dying.
I just heard that recently. I never heard that until recently.
See, the funny thing, Holly had the complete opposite reaction. Yeah. He's like, yeah, hey, Rich, it was, yeah, whoa, hey, it was good, pal. I'll see you up in Burlington at NBC, okay? Got to go now.
I don't think Holly shed any tears over Dale, from what I heard.
I have no idea.
I like everybody here. Yeah, I'm just telling you what I heard.
I like everybody. I was their intern
at the time. I was there. It was a very emotional time.
Oh, was?
Did you cry, John?
I actually was banished that day. I was told not to bother anyone.
Oh, interesting.
Why?
Because they were told at 1:30 that it was Holly's last day, so it was kind of a... It was kind of a closed door day around the office and mind my own business.
And you were just an intern and you were,
And look what you've moved up to.
Yeah, look at you now.
Now you're a producer of Dickerson and James.
So John, don't talk to us the rest of the show.
Yeah, just don't.
It's very emotional for us.
Yeah, Keith got really emotional. How long did he work with Michael Holly for, like 8 months?
I didn't think it was that long. I didn't think it was that long, but hey, sometimes...
No, it was over a year.
Oh!
Was it over a
December
year?
December 2016 was when Keith started.
I think so many game changes around here, and I can't keep track.
Man, he got attached. He got attached quickly.
Well, sometimes that happens. You fall in love with a girl. And
right.
Wham! She just takes over your whole life, and then boom! She just leaves you for a TV job.
That's it.
Just like that. She dumps you on the side of the road in Radio Land and becomes a star on TV.
John, do we have any other great moments of what? Because Dickerson brought this point up. EI's been over here since 1999.
Right about 1999.
So we're talking around. 2 decades, 20 years. Do we have any other great moments of what happened here at this station that you can just random things that you can play?
I mean, I can look for you if you want me to just indiscriminately start playing them. I can do so. There's no great moments folder I can sift through though. So
okay, well just
wait I'll find something.
Are you trying to say there isn't a great moments folder of all the moments here at all the great historical Marconi winning moments of WEEI?
How about the
we haven't saved them?
How about Kirk Minahan versus John Tomasi? That was a great moment.
There are millions of those.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta,
well, I mean, I can find one.
Yeah, there was one.
You know what? Do this for me, John. Can you find, and I hate to be like Mark and ask you to do 74 things in 16 seconds. Is there a Pete Shepard clip in anywhere there?
Oh, I know exactly the Pete Shepard clip you're talking about.
That'd be a good one to play.
Ah.
You can find that.
Okay.
That'd be some history of this station in this building.
All right, 617-779-7937. Perhaps your greatest memories of WEI over the course of the last 20 years.
I forgot one.
What?
I'll bring up Tom Curran again. This was many, many...
Yeah, you've only done it 18 times.
Why?
Yeah,
but this one's worth it. We were doing a night show together, but filling in, and he was my guest. And I forget what I said to him. It wasn't anything specific, But we were going back and forth about a point on something.
Yeah.
And I guess I was ultra aggressive, as I used to be. And he literally almost stormed off and almost just walked out of the studio.
Oh, he almost pulled a John Dennis.
Almost pulled a John Dennis and just walked out. But he cooled down, settled down. What did you say that pissed him off? I don't remember. Oh. It wasn't necessarily one thing that pissed him off so much.
Right.
It was that I was just kept firing at him and firing at him and firing at him, going after him about something, and I wouldn't relent to whatever the topic was. And Tom, who used to have a gasket that would blow, you know, at a gust of wind. And he settled down. He settled down since back then. But I ticked off the wrong person.
Did he want to fight you afterwards?
I lit the wrong fuse.
Do you want to fight you afterwards?
Not after. I think he wanted to fight me in that moment.
Wow.
He didn't want to fight me afterwards, but he wanted to fight me in that moment. But we settled down and, you know, we made nice, and we've been good ever since.
You know, it's amazing that when EI moved in here and then 2 years later really started the Tom Brady era. With the Patriots in
01. I guess
so.
You're right.
So 2 years after that. So you came in for the Pete Carroll, the final year of Pete Carroll, which was 99, right? He was here for three seasons.
Yep.
And then it started with Belichick and then Tom Brady. And then Brady and Belichick are a part of the station now. Patriot Monday.
Sure.
So
as the Patriots go, so does WEEI. I'm sorry. As WEEI goes, so go the New England Patriots.
And we are so we are very thankful that Tom Brady comes on every Monday, and so does Belichick with OMF. Those guys do a great job. 617-779-7937. What? No.
How about Trey Flowers going on with the Midday Show?
That's right.
With Dale and Keith.
Yeah, he does. That's right. Okay. Trey Flowers going on the Midday.
You know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Make sure you give them praise.
Absolutely. Right. Dale and Keith. All right. So. Dickerson, is this thing going to turn around, the Patriots?
The radio station, I have my doubts. I think it already has, though, a little bit. The Patriots. I honestly don't know, and I hate that. I hate being wishy-washy and sitting here and saying, I don't know. But I honestly don't know. As I said to you earlier, I thought things would have turned around now for Tom Brady, and he and this team would be playing much better football than they played early. And I thought during the course of that win streak, I didn't think they were fantastic. I think they had their moments, but I didn't think they were fantastic.
They weren't. They weren't fantastic.
During the course of that run.
Well, they needed a defensive touchdown against Buffalo. I mean, you look at the game.
That was a sloppy, ugly game.
You know, Green Bay, there was some lucky plays there, too, as well. I mean, I think they're going to be able to turn it around. I think next Sunday will be a get-right game against the Jets. You want one of those games. And then you get Minnesota, and that's going to be a tough game here. But Minnesota, I mean,
isn't Minnesota the benchmark for this team, though?
No, you're not
going to learn anything from the Jets game, obviously.
Let's remember, Minnesota got blown out at home by Buffalo.
I understand that, but no, that was in Buffalo.
No, that was in Minnesota. I promise you. I'll bet you. You already owe me.
Are you sure?
You already owe me a 50. Let's double or nothing. Okay. You want to double or nothing?
No, I don't want to double or nothing. No.
Oh, okay.
I promise you. I'm sorry that I questioned you.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Don't ever question me.
I thought it was in Buffalo.
No.
I may be wrong. I had been before in my life.
Yes.
I will be again.
It was in
Minnesota.
They were an 18-point underdog in that game.
Okay, you would know.
Yes.
Okay. I bow to the master.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
They were an 18-point underdog.
Sounds like somebody lost a crap load of cash that day, I'll tell you.
Sounds
like somebody didn't touch the Buffalo Bills that game.
No, I didn't touch the game, but I mean, you know, like, because you would ever in an NFL game give up 17 and a half, 18 points. That's crazy. So I didn't touch it. Oh. But then when they killed them, it was like, wow, that's just insane when you think about that. Overall, like, to be a 17 and a half, 18 point underdog and to come out and beat a team that was previously undefeated, that looked like the team that was the best team in the NFC.
Well, despite that game, Minnesota is still
good football.
They're still a good football team. So to me, you're going to really find out where this Patriot team is, where they stand during that game. But to really answer your question, to me, if this team is healthy, I think we're talking about a team that plays in the AFC Championship game. Whether they win it,
it
depends on where it is, depends on who it's against. But if this team is able to be healthy, and I'm talking about, obviously, Gronkowski, Edelman, Michelle, your offensive line, I think they'll get to the AFC Championship. Brady, obviously, I should say. They get to the AFC Championship game.
617-779-7937. By the way, you know what's amazing? The mouse for the computer doesn't work, so can we go get the real one?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I was going to say, go get the real mouse.
Get the real mouse and just move it around.
Moving around. That's it.
Mark, over the next half hour, less and less things are going to be working here.
I can't believe we're back here, because last week when I was walking out, one of the engineers told me, "Go, oh, you'll be in the new station next week." I'm like, okay. So we get the last ever show here at the Guest Street Studios. I kind of feel honored about it. Do you?
No, not really.
Okay.
I don't think twice about it.
Okay.
I know I'm looking forward to going over across the street.
Yeah, me too.
And working under the 98.5 banner that they'll probably still have up in the studio. That'll be nice.
Oh, God.
Because that would cost money to take down. And, you know,
yeah. I think it'll say EI.
You think so?
I think so. Right. They didn't have enough money for Mutt's new photos, but I think they're going to have enough money.
Why the hell is Mutt complaining? He looks better back then,
yeah,
years ago than he does now.
He did. There's no, but he's buffer
don't
now.
Complain about it.
But he's buffer now.
He's not really that buff. Somebody said that earlier in the week.
No,
for a guy who claims to be on all this juice and all this, you know, chemical compounds and lift so much weights, I don't look at him going, "Oh, that dude's stacked." I mean, he's in good shape, yes, but I would expect, you know, muscles on top of muscles with Mutt.
617-779.
He does have a little roid rage.
7937. Does he really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Little bit.
Jim in Littleton, you're up next. What's up, Jim?
No, I'm just saying, I listen to you guys all the time. You know, I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
You know, I listened to all this doubt about Tom Brady, and I mean, the guy's phenomenal. I saw him in his first parade with my dad. He said he'd be back. He's been back four times since. Even though he's in a little lull right now at his age, you know they're going to be playing in January.
Yeah, you do.
And you know
you
he's going to win. He's going to be in the Super Bowl.
I don't know about that this year, Jim. I can't.
I know everybody's saying that. That's my whole point is that's all he needs to hear.
I mean, but what have you seen this year of this Patriots team? Forget about Brady and how lackluster he's been, especially over the last three games. What have you seen this Patriots team that makes you think that they're going to go back to the Super Bowl for the third straight year?
Just because everybody's saying they can't. And also not just that, he hasn't had a lot of weapons to work with. And Gordon's just coming around. And now he's getting some of the running backs back. Burkhead's going to be coming back. You know, you got Gronk that's going to be coming back. You hope. Yeah, I hope too. I understand he's, but I think he is.
Hey, John, let me ask you this question. Who would you take in a fight, a tornado or Tom Brady?
I was a commercial fisherman 28 years. I'm going to take the tornado.
You are? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
All right.
All right, John.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim. Thanks, Jim. Sorry, I called him John for a second.
You know where that was coming from?
What?
You don't remember the old Dick skit on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yes.
That's what I was trying to do.
Gotcha.
Who's going to win in a fight?
Dude, Dickerson just knocked over his computer for the third time. Dude, this stuff's got to work at the new station. What are you doing, bro?
I wouldn't be shocked if they just left it here.
Yeah,
they probably would. Yeah, just don't leave behind the 8x10.
Look at all the dust that's flying up. Look at all that, kid.
Oh, my God. Don't leave behind the 8x10 WRKO photo of Jeff Kuhner. Just don't leave that behind, because that seems like it's going to be worth some money on eBay.
I'm just going to go check myself into Brigham and Women when I'm out of here.
Yeah, I mean.
Have them test me.
I've been in strip clubs, specifically one, a Mardi Gras in Springfield, where I can tell you it's a lot cleaner than this studio. All right, 617-779-7937. We will take all your phone calls, your fondest memories of WEI over the last 20 years here at this studio, and we'll try to fulfill those requests. John Anderson's working very hard at that. Dickerson James, the final hour, Guest Street Studios on EEI.
What's up, Jill?
Can't even begin to tell you how disgusting that whole process is, and for a coward like Tomasi.
Whoa, come on. You can call me a coward, just leave the F out of it.
Listen, you are such a coward and such a phony. How on earth do you have a job calling Julio Lugo a pedophile? Do you think people in this organization trust scumbags like you with legitimate news? You're a liar and a phony, and that just tops it off. You don't know about Julio Lugo.
Come on, Kurt.
Wow. Do you know, I never heard that before.
Oh, really?
That was Kurt Schilling versus John Tomasi from 2016. Wow.
Good language Kurt was using on the radio. It's nice. It's good. And calling, you know, John Tomasi a scumbag.
Oh, that was one of the nicer things he said there.
I know. I know.
I mean, man.
I'll side with John. Thank you.
Wow.
Kurt's seen his best days.
He's pissed.
Listen,
I don't know what's happened to him, but
I have nothing against Schilling, so I don't want Jerry Callahan coming after me. But Schilling,
come on, lay into somebody on the station, will you? Finally, stones.
I've already done that. Schilling and Gammons have sort of gone a different. Like they've
lost it. Is that what you're trying to say? They've lost their minds.
I mean, they're different now.
And by the way, I defended Schilling. No, I defended him. On Twitter, defended the fact that the Red Sox did not invite him along with guys from the 2004 team. That was bogus. That was bogus.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell happened to Curt Schilling. I don't know why he lost his mind.
Well, everybody knows he was an integral part of that 2004 team, and you can disinvite him.
But you know what's sad with him is I think if you asked a good majority of Red Sox fans, not all of them, but a good majority of Red Sox fans, your first thought of Curt Schilling, they would think of that Curt Schilling and what Curt Schilling has kind of become in the way he is now, as opposed to, oh, bloody sock, 2004. You know, I'm going to bring a World Series. I'm going to bring a World Series to Boston. I think they would think of this Curt Schilling more than that one, which is a shame.
Yeah. I will say this. Arguably the best postseason pitcher in baseball history. Arguably.
He's up there. Sure.
Arguably.
Absolutely.
I mean, I cannot, whether you like the guy or not, that guy was clutch. He was clutch with the Phillies in 93 when they went to the World Series. He was clutch with the Diamondbacks in 2001 when they won it all. He was clutch with the Sox in 2004 and 2007. So, I mean, I don't know, man. When there's a big game Schilling was as good as it gets. And what you think about his political beliefs or whatever things.
It's not the political beliefs. It's just the way he carries himself now. It's
something changed, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anything changed or what, but I typically do not fault somebody for their political beliefs. If he likes Trump, if he's a right winger, I don't care. I disagree with him politically. Doesn't mean he's a bad person.
No.
I don't think he carries himself well anymore.
Mm. Peter in Jamaica Plain. You're up next on Dickerson and James. What's up, Peter? Let me get there. We go. Go ahead, Peter.
That was my call that said bring up Tomasi Schilling. This is one of the best things I've ever heard on the radio.
Well, you just heard it, and I never heard that, Peter.
Oh, no. If you heard the whole thing, it goes on and on. I mean, Schilling has a permit to carry. He basically said he'd come in and shoot
him. Right.
He called him a pervert. Honest to God, he called him a pedophile. It was phenomenal radio.
No, he didn't call him a pedophile. I thought he called Julio Lugo that.
No. He did. He called Curt Schilling. If you go back, he basically called Curt Schilling a pedophile. But I'm privileged to speak to Greg Dickerson. I miss you so much on the Celtics telecast. You were the most knowledgeable person on the radio about the Celtics.
Hang up
Ardway
on him
thinks
now.
He is, but he's a blowhard.
Who's the blowhard? Who?
Ardway.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh my God,
yeah, absolutely.
He drives me crazy.
He's good at it. He's good at being a blowhard, though, isn't he?
No.
I think he's pretty good at it.
He's never wrong. He changes.
Well, that is true. That is true.
No.
He changes his tune. That is not what I said.
From day to day, you know, he's never wrong.
Right.
I said
the guy who said that Jimmy Garoppolo would lose every endorsement for going on a date with a porn star, and then Jimmy Garoppolo signed a huge deal with Nike. He's like, I was just kidding.
Mark,
I was just kidding.
Yeah. I didn't say that. Listen, I said the Patriots would win last week, but I didn't say they would lose last week.
Ardway's been like that for 30 years. I've been listening to him. But the one thing I did, I watched the Toronto Celtics game really carefully this morning. And I just focused on two players, Kyrie, who I've been really hard on Kyrie. But I think it was more because of his injury. He is playing defense. He's passing the ball. And then I really watch Gordon Hayward. He's coming along. He's phenomenally skilled. His anticipation, he had 5 steals, his playmaking ability, and his three-point shooting's been abysmal, but that's going to come along. I was really excited to see
it. I'm not worried about his three-point shooting because I agree. It'll come along. It's sort of his kind of lackadaisical attitude that I've seen has been troublesome.
No. He's much faster than he was at the beginning of the year.
Well, I was just seeing it on the road trip a week ago. I kind of felt that way a week ago.
Oh, that game. That let me tell you something, Peter. He needs to burn that tape, that game film of his return to Utah last week. That was a bad.
No, I'm talking about Tatum.
Okay, well,
I was talking about Taylor.
Well, Gordon Hayward was
Gordon Hayward. Too. Okay,
but Jalen, yeah, you're talking about Taylor. Yeah, to me, there's a part of Tatum, and I'm going to tell you this right now, Peter. The fact that he really, you know, he worked out this year with Kobe Bryant. There's a certain part of his game right now. I see it's very Kobe-ish and not the good Kobe.
Right, but he's getting back now because
okay,
he's
good.
Really high percentage from three-point land. I know exactly what you're saying. He
right.
thought he was Kobe, taking all these mid-range 18-footers. That's all he would do. But he's getting out of that. I think he's getting a lot better. But
all right, Peter. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Peter.
And the one thing I will say, if you think if you agree with Kyrie Irving and you think the Celtics need a veteran who's been in the league for 12 to 15 years, that's fine.
Oh, I think they could use another one. I kind of find it a little short-sighted of Kyrie to say that, and I thought it was kind of a slap in the face to Al Horford because I'm like, well, what the hell is Al Horford? I know he doesn't have a ring. He's not a champion, but the guy's been around forever. He's played an umpteen million playoff games with the Atlanta Hawks and now with the Celtics as well. Isn't that kind of what Al Horford is? But I see what he's saying. This team could use another. And it got it. We all keep doing this. We keep going back to PJ Brown, but it's the perfect choice.
Well,
they need another PJ Brown type.
I thought he was alluding to Carmelo Anthony. I'm like the last.
Oh God,
thing,
no!
I'm like
no.
The last thing the Celtics need.
No,
Carmelo Anthony.
No way he was talking about Carmelo
Anthony. Is the prom queen from 20 years ago who has like 36 STDs. No, thank you. Final segment.
You bring up a
Dickerson
lot about,
and James. Yeah. Final segment at the Guest Street Studios. 617-779-7937. History in the making at WEI. Next.
Is that the story because you weren't a rich kid? I'm confused. Walk me through this, please. I guess I'm stupid. Tell me the story, please, because I forget.
No.
Why not?
Not going there.
Why not? The time you made up an entire story and should have been fired? Well, what is it, then? What is it?
Maybe he is getting under my skin, Jerry. maybe I'll grant him
all
that.
Right, we got... Okay.
Hey, that cut out early.
I think that's okay.
Oh.
I think that's okay.
All right.
It's quite all right.
That was a little Kirk versus Tomasi on that one. So there's so many memorable moments over the last 20 years. I was only part of them for like the last six months.
It's a shame that this station is turning into a country station. It's really,
oh, no.
Billy Bob Wardrew, along with Hopalong Maloney, coming up 2 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah, I know,
it's
going to
be a shame.
It'd
be a shame.
Greatest.
Gonna miss talking sports here.
Yeah.
The old 93.7.
Yeah, I know, man.
Boston's country station. Is that why we're moving? Is that why we're leaving here? Is that no?
No.
Okay.
Are you coming? You headed over with me to the new station afterward?
I've been there. I used to work there.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, I don't need to go over there.
Okay,
no.
You're good.
Why do I? It's Saturday. Why do I want to go over and look at a bunch of stupid engineers with their dumb equipment? Pulling things apart and plugging things. I've been there.
Yeah.
It's a radio studio. What do I care?
Right.
Give me a mic and a pair of headphones at work, and I'll be fine.
You got it, Dickerson.
I don't need to go. I got nothing to suck up to. I'm never going to get a full-time job ever in this business again. You, on the other hand, are the number one choice of WEEI executives to take over a spot on weekdays here. Marcus.
It was
in the Globe yesterday, so it has to be true.
Well,
if it's in the Globe, it has to be true. Just ask Shirley Luong.
Right?
Well, she writes the truth.
Wow.
She doesn't check on it or nothing, but you know,
wow. Man, I'll tell you this. Kirk
executives
has not pulled any punches on her.
Nor should he.
Like none. If you want to follow Kirk on Twitter and just read his tweet, he is just going all in. If I'm Shirley, you better re-up that prescription for Ambien because you're going to need to get some sleep at night. Because
I thought you were talking to me. I'm like,
no. Did you get your meds?
Do I take Ambien?
No. Did you?
What? Did I? I do.
Oh, you do?
I do. And I've never, you know, had any of the issues that a lot of people have.
What are those?
They
Roseanne. Do stuff in their sleep.
Right.
Look it up on the Reddit page, Ambien, Mark. You will have you'll have yourself a fun night reading those stories.
Well, Roseanne, that was the whole thing that Roseanne was on when she had the racial tweets that she put out there. I was on Ambien.
Oh.
Ambien made me do it.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I've been on Ambien for like 10 years off and on.
It doesn't make
you
do it.
Never made me do that. No.
All right.
You know what it did for me?
What'd it do?
Made me go to sleep.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe go to sleep.
I think I tried it a couple times. It wasn't, you know, anything but...
Well, you're doing it recreationally to get high. I'm doing it as a medical thing. I can get some sleep so I can be healthy.
Mine was medical.
No, you're snorting it. I'm taking it by... You know, by mouth with water.
No. I never snorted anything in my life.
You're chasing it down
I think I'm the only person to ever live in Miami for longer than a year and never tried cocaine.
Really?
Never my whole life. I'm very proud of that.
Can't believe. Wow, I'm surprised at that. I thought it was like one of those things that they gave kids in school.
I think they do. Well,
I thought it was like right next to the milk.
Well, trick or treat.
Oh, okay.
Well, like when you go out trick or treat, I think they would, you know, kind of leave it there by the door in these little vials there.
It's like in Boston, we all teach our kids to drink, but you know, by the age of 12, I figured cocaine was like a prerequisite down to kids in Miami.
Yeah, but drinking's different than that.
Probably.
So, back
in the 80s, it wasn't, apparently.
So now everything's going to be opened up for marijuana on Tuesday, right?
That would be Tuesday, yes.
Wow.
Two places. One in Leicester, one in Northampton.
So which one are you hitting? The one in Leicester?
No, see, I'm not going to either one on Tuesday. No, I won't be doing that.
Okay.
Because it's Tuesday. I don't want to hang out with a bunch of hippies waiting for their weed. No.
Yeah, it's going to be like...
Maybe a week later, I'll let it settle down a little bit.
It's going to be like Best Buy on Thanksgiving night when everybody's waiting now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
why am I going shopping on Black Friday when I know I can still get a great deal 10 days later?
No, yeah.
I know I won't have to wait in as long of a line a week later.
Well, here's the thing now. Most companies understand that nobody wants to go to the mall anymore. So they're going to do this stuff. They're going to like even do early Black Friday specials and do it prior to Black Friday, like on Thanksgiving night or Wednesday. They do. Exactly.
Like people lined up all the place on Thanksgiving night or people in New Hampshire will actually go shopping after Thanksgiving dinner.
I never understood why people do this.
Did you say sheeple?
Yeah, sheeple.
You meant to say that.
I meant to say
okay,
that.
All right.
Because people are sheep.
I know, sheeple. Sheeple. I thought you misspoke at first, and then I'm like, no, wait a minute, he meant that. That's good.
No, that's good.
I like that.
I never understood why sheeple, when there's a new iPhone, there's sheeple outside the Apple store. There they are
waiting. Guess what? It's going to be there in 3 weeks. You're going to have it in 3 weeks. You'll be fine.
How about,
you don't have to sleep outside on a grimy sidewalk.
Well, how about in three to six months when the price gets cut in half?
Well, I like new stuff. I like getting new stuff, but I'm not going to sleep on a sidewalk. I'm not going to stand outside in a tent in 20-degree weather for 2 hours to get it.
I'll wait my time.
Yeah,
okay. Would you have slept out to go to a Duke, North Carolina game in Cameron and in Krzyzewski?
If I was in college?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
In college.
Yeah.
Now?
No.
And to me... I don't like to wait for anything now. I'm a very impatient New Englander. I don't like waiting for anything.
Birds of a similar feather. Today I went over to Brugger's Bagels, which is now reopened in Brookline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge line. I would not have made the show on time. I would have basically pulled a Greg Dickerson. And I went towards the front of the line.
You know who I am?
And I went to these ladies and said, listen, I got to be at something before noon.
Hey, toots.
And
Mark James.
No.
Perhaps you read about me in the Boston Globe yesterday? Yep. That Mark James. You're right, honey. You know, I can't sign autographs right now, but if you just let me sneak by you so I can get my everything bagel.
They were very nice in doing that. So they let me do that. That's sweet.
That's super of them.
Yeah.
So what were their names? Do you remember their names?
I don't even know their names.
Didn't even get their names.
Didn't even get their names.
Didn't give two flying fadoodles. You didn't care.
I'm an only child, and my time is more valuable than everybody else's.
See, I'm not an only child. I'm one of three. And I agree with you. Five times is more valuable than anybody else's. So leave me alone. Let me get out of here. Go over and suck up to the executives over across the street and tell everybody I said hi. I'm going home.
You're going home.
I'm going home.
All right. I'm going to head on over to the new
studio.
You're
going to listen to Meter on the BC Florida State
BC
game.
Bounce back game today in Tallahassee against Florida State. I think BC wins this game big time.
Here, do me a favor. Go give Joey that. Tell him it's his.
Oh, tell him, devil dog.
I'm giving him a congratulations.
Larry Johnson forgot his devil dog. So we will be back next week at the new studios. Will you be back next
week? Yes.
You will. Oh,
yes,
2 weeks in a row?
Yes, two in a row.
I guarantee won't happen.
It won't be three in a row, but it'll be two in a row.
All
trust
right.
me.
All right. He says two in a row. Let's keep that sound, John Anderson. John Anderson, thanks to you. Despite what Dickerson says, you're a good guy.
You stink, John.
You're a really good producer. Dickerson James, coming up next, BC Football.